Chapter 3. Frank Views Body.
By 5 o'clock of a still Sabbath morning, the dragnet of the law was spread for the slayer of a little factory girl. Immediately following the arrest of Newt Lee, he was taken to the station house, and efforts were made to identify the dead child. Deputy Rogers told the officers, while all were still at the pencil factory, that he knew a girl that worked there who could probably look at the murdered child and tell who she was. She was his sister-in-law, he said, Grace Hicks, who lived at 100 McDonough Road. Rogers decided to go after her in his machine. Shortly before daylight he returned with Miss Hicks, and went with her to the morgue of P.J. Bloomfield, where the body had been taken. There Grace Hicks looked at the lacerated body. "It's the little girl that worked at the machine next to me," she cried. "It's Mary Fagan!" With the words, she fainted. In the meantime, other officers of the police and detective departments had been busy at the scene of the crime. About 5:30 a.m., Detective Starnes called up Frank, the superintendent, at his home, 68 East Georgia Avenue, told him that something had happened at the factory, and that he would send for him in an automobile. So, shortly after daylight, Rogers went to the Frank home in his car with Detective John Black. The door was opened to them by Mrs. Frank, and immediately afterward her husband came out. According to the story of Black and Rogers, Frank asked them if anything had happened at the pencil factory, but they told him to get his coat and come with them. Black said later that Frank was dressed, all except his collar and tie, and that he appeared to be extremely nervous, constantly rubbing his hands. The three of them got into Roger's car and rushed off toward town. On the way, Black asked Frank if he knew a girl named Mary Fagan, and the superintendent is said to have told him that he would look on the factory payroll and see. It was at this time that Black told Frank of the murder. On the way to the factory, the three stopped at the undertaker's and looked on the body of Mary Fagan. It is said that Frank was asked if he knew her, and he replied that he thought so, and that he would find out for certain at the factory. Leaving the undertaker's, the trio approached the factory at sunrise. Already the news of the murder had spread over the town, and a small group of men stood outside the factory door. Among them was N.V. Darley, general foreman of the factory, whom Frank had requested his wife to notify before he left home. Frank hailed the foreman, and he entered with the superintendent and the officers. Straight up the stairs to Frank's office the men went. The superintendent opened the safe, took out a blank book, ran his finger down a column of names, and stopped at one. Mary Fagan stared up from the page. "Yes," said Frank, according to Roger's story. "She was here yesterday to get her pay. If I make no mistake, my stenographer left at 12 o'clock. The office boy went a few minutes later, and then she came in and got her pay. It was 12:15. Stepping quickly away from the book, Frank rubbed his hands and asked if any traces of the pay envelope had been found around the factory. There had been none. The next request of the superintendent was to see the place where the girl's body had been found. Officers, superintendent, and foreman boarded the elevator leading to the basement. First, it is said, Frank went up to a switch box by the elevator, told the officers that he was accustomed to keeping it locked, then unlocked it, turned on the machinery, and the elevator started on its downward trip. In his nervousness, Frank did not see that the elevator rope was caught, and Darley reached over and helped him release it. After viewing the basement room where the body was found, the party returned upstairs. "Newt Lee has worked for us for a short time," Frank is quoted as saying, "but Darley's known him a long time. If anybody can get anything out of him, it's Darley." On the return to the first floor, someone suggested that they all go down to the station house, with which Frank turned to Darley and is said to have told him, "I guess I'd better put a new slip on the clock." What followed is best told by Boots Rogers. By his testimony given later, Frank talked but little of the murder, but said, "That's too bad," as he looked at the spot where little Mary Fagan was found dead. "When Frank spoke to Darley about a new slip on the clock," said Rogers, "the foreman agreed with him." Rogers said, "Frank took his keys out of his pocket, unlocked the door of the lock on the right, and took out the time slip. He examined the slip and then said it was punched all right. Lee was handcuffed and was standing near. Darley also was there. After seeing that the time slip was punched all right, Frank laid it down on the table and went into his office, coming out with a blank slip. While he was in the office getting the new slip, several of us examined the one taken from the clock. When Frank put in the new slip, he asked some of us to help him, and I held a lever. Frank found a pencil in one of the punch holes and asked Lee why it was there. The Negro said he put the pencil there so he would punch the right hole and make no mistake. Frank unlocked the clock, and on the margin of the slip he wrote in pencil, 26 April 1913. Then he folded the slip and carried it back into the inner office. When I examined the slip, I noticed just the first two punches especially. One was punched at 6:01 o'clock and second at 6:32 or 6:33. He didn't notice any skips on the slip. He thought if there had been any omissions, he would have seen them. From the factory, Frank and the officers went to the police station, still in Roger's machine, which truly had seen hard service that Sunday morning. Darley and Rogers sat on the front seat, Lee and Detective Black in the rear. Frank was sitting on Darley's knee. "He trembled violently," said Darley. At the police station, Frank is said to have leaped out of the automobile in a nervous jump, walking rapidly into the chief of detectives' office and talking in a quick, constrained manner. During the conversation in the detectives' office, Frank told them of the visit to the factory Saturday morning of one J. M. Gant, a young man who was discharged from the factory a short time before, and who came back that afternoon for a pair of shoes he had left there. Frank told the detectives that Gant knew Mary Fagan well. On the strength of this statement, the detective force started looking for Gant. With Newt Lee held in the station on the charge of suspicion, Frank at his home, and detectives on the lookout for several suspects, the first day of the famous Mary Fagan case came to a close. All during that still Sabbath, crowds had passed constantly back and forth along Forsyth Street, content merely to stand and gaze at the building where black murder had been done, although a ceaseless watch was maintained by officers on all who entered or left the factory, and the general public was entirely excluded from its interior. And in the meantime, there was sorrow in a little home in Bellwood, which Mary Fagan had left alive and happy on Saturday.